Good morning, everybody. My name's Sandy, and I'm an alcoholic. Let me get my watch right side up. Secret to a good talk is stopping on time. Anyway, my sobriety date is December 7th, 1964, which means tomorrow I'll have 45 years. And my home group is the Saturday Night Fever group in Tampa, Florida. If you're ever in town, come on over. We have a big speaker meeting, about 300 people, and we have a lot of fun. I love speaker meetings. They were the lifeblood of my early sobriety. The reason they're so powerful for new people is you don't get to talk. That's why it's so powerful. You're forced into listening, which is the secret of spirituality, and eventually you'll hear God, but you can't hear him if you're talking. When we get to step 10, we've done a lot of work to get there. We've done almost all the work there is, and you'd think that you would get some kind of a reward if you did all the work, and you do. Because by God, you open the big book and you start reading in step 10 and it says, we have entered the world of the Spirit. So that's not a bad reward for all the work that you did in those first 9 steps. And you've also entered the world of the present moment. Those are great worlds to be in. And the reason we have to do all that work to get here is that all the stuff we got rid of won't fit in this new world. And that's how we have to get rid of it. And it's a lot of work getting rid of character defects and making ourselves small enough to get in here. But boy, is it worth it. And we actually have the real magic of the program take place on the doorway to the 10th step when we read the promises and the magic that's contained in them. And it's important when you look at those promises to see the verbs that they use. These are not human verbs. You can't go to a psychiatrist and have self-seeking slip away. That's not in the therapy book, slipping away, disappear, leave us. 7 sessions, and your defects will leave you. They won't leave you. You'll understand them better, but they'll still be there. So we're talking about something that can only be done by God. And as it's happening, we don't realize that. We're still used to the intellectual approach to life. We're used to understanding and learning, and I'm going to learn more, and the more I know, the more I know, the more I know. And there you are, knowing and still miserable, but at least you know a lot. And so this has nothing to do with knowing, nothing to do with learning. It has to do with doing. That's why it's a program of action. And then this happens. And it's interesting it happens as we're completing our amends, which is probably one of the most spiritual things that human beings do. I'm sure that as you're going around walking up to make an amend, God is smiling. Because that's exactly the way he'd like things to be done, is to go back and fix harm. Because he knows we can't help harming, because we're human. But we're going to go back and fix it. And I think you get a big smile out of him when you're going up, even though you don't want to. And so the magic happens, and a lot of times the magic happens, and other people realize it before you do. You all have sponsored people, and you see them being transformed, and you realize that they don't know it yet. Isn't it fun to be ahead of them and to know that you're sponsoring somebody and they're going, I don't think this works. And you're going, it already has. You just don't know it yet. their countenance is changed, and I just hate what the ravages of alcohol do to our women members. It just takes this natural beauty that women have and destroys it. And it's really a sad thing to see a new woman in AA. But boy, is it fun to watch what happens when that inner beauty comes back. And you can see they haven't seen it yet. But you know they're going to look in the mirror one day and go, "Is that me?" And there it is, and it's more beautiful than it ever was. So we really have some wonderful things happen here. And so these promises always materialize. Even that verb, that's a magician's term. I have an empty hat here, and a rabbit will materialize in this hat. So even all the promises materialize. They're not there. They just come out of thin air. Whoo! Now, there's only one magician that can do that stuff, and that's God. Only it's happening. It's happening. And then comes the moment that is the point of the whole program. We suddenly realize all this magic, all these coincidences, all this education, whatever we've attributed to, was actually caused by God, and he just tapped us on the shoulder and said, "I did all this for you." That's about as big an awakening that any human being can ever have, is to suddenly realize that your own creator just gave you a knock on the head to tell you he's there, and that's his gift to you. And the feeling of his presence is so powerful that we have these last three steps to maintain and improve that experience. And I sometimes think that the term God as we understand him could be perhaps better understood if it said God as we experience him. Because it's through the experience that we understand. Up till then, we make it up in our head what we think it is because we haven't experienced it yet. But once we experience it, then we start to understand. And then we understand more, and then we understand more. And then when you get to the advanced level, you understand that you can't understand. So you stop trying to understand. And you just experience. But you have to go through the process because the intellect doesn't want to give up even in the spiritual world. God's a mystery, but I'm going to figure it out because I figure mysteries out. And then someday we just accept that it's a mystery and we just stand in awe of it. And I think that's God's favorite prayer is, "Wow." So anyway, that's a description of the doorway into this new world. This is the new world. So we just came from the material world. And we did all this work to escape it. We did all this work to get free of the material world, which we think of as this thing out there with the merchants and the politicians and the wars and the whatever. But it's really not out there. It's our thinking about that world that is the real world that we live in. So the only way to not live in that world is to destroy it. And that is what the process of the steps, I see it, is to destroy the world that I used to live in so that I can move in to this new world, the spiritual world. So we're trying to let go of the material world and come in. And that's why we have sponsors to help us let go. The biggest action verb in Alcoholics Anonymous is letting go. It's a program of action. Okay, I'm ready. Okay, we're going to get into that. What do I do? Let go. I know, but I want to really get busy. Yeah, let go. And then we look at our hands, and they're filled with old ideas and prejudices and opinions and causes. Anything that we have invested our ego in, And we just say, let them all go. I don't know. I worked a long time putting together this. If the world followed this plan I have in here, it would be a hell of a place. There'd be no poverty. Let it go. So you can see that's pretty hard work. And we need help. Matter of fact, the only one that can make us let go is God. So we got 6 and 7. That's the only way to let go of that stuff. Can you imagine that? It's like having a hot coal in your hand and you can't let go of it. And it's burning like hell. You have to get God to help you to let go of it. That's how hard it is to let go. That we need God's help. Isn't that something? So that's enough about letting go. It's one way to summarize the whole program is let go and let God. It's that hard to do. It's probably the hardest thing there is to do is to let go and let God. And look at that little tiny slogan, let go and let God. Okay, I got it. No, you don't. You couldn't have it if you let go. So I got it. It's wrong. Okay, enough of the word games. Anyway, we come in, and so we knew what the rules of the material world were. You know, get even, get ahead, keep track, look good, get money, get sex, whatever, all the rules, and buy everything. So now we're coming over here, and I think it would be appropriate if as we entered the spiritual world, they gave us some rules. What are the rules in the spiritual world? Because I want to live here. I don't want to live out there. And so it says, okay, well, got a pencil? Yeah, I'm going to write down the rules of the spiritual world. Okay, here's the deal. Anytime you get upset or frightened, angry, any character defect shows up in your life, ask God at once to remove them. Okay, moving on from the entire plan for the spiritual world. And you go, no, there's got to be more to it than that. It can't be that simple. Do you see how we hate simplicity? We absolutely hate simplicity. Here's the rules for living in the material world. Whatever happens, ask God to help you with it. Okay, any questions? Everybody got that? You're all excited about that? Part of you isn't excited about that at all because it doesn't leave you anything to do. You have to practice non-involvement in your own life. Do you think that's easy? The entire plan is let God do everything. Oh, but I have to do the legwork. No, he does legwork too. I have to do the mopping up. I have to clean the floor. No, he helps clean floors. We're constantly thinking up activities to leave God out on the ground that he wouldn't help us there. Isn't that clever? We're constantly dreaming up little schemes that only can be done by me. Because I don't want God involved in everything. I got to have something. He even helps us make the coffee. Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, the premise here is we want God involved in everything. We want to feel his presence all the time. So there it is, the 10th step. Whenever you get this, we ask God at once to remove them. And then we run them by somebody to make sure that we're clear on what we're trying to get removed. And then these wonderful things, this change in perspective. I can't quote all that. It's funny, Bob was reading that section when he was giving his presentation, and I went, hey, I thought I was doing the 10th step. Well, he was reading it because they're so powerful. That if tempted, we'll recoil, and we're in a position of neutrality. That is a description of what it feels like to live in this new world that we found. It doesn't look like the step says, continue to take personal inventory when we're wrong, promptly admit it. That doesn't really sound like we're in this world. But we are in it. We were rocketed into it when we had that awareness that God is doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. And so the trick is to stay there, because there's something that takes us out of this material world, out of this spiritual world. And it's called being upset. And we can get upset in many ways. We can get upset by being frightened, by being angry, by being resentful. All of those move us back to the material world, so we have to get rid of those as soon as possible. And so when we say we continue to take personal inventory, that means every time we're disturbed, we want to inventory what it is so we can get rid of it. You see, it's that, in other words, all the steps before were to get rid of everything that had accumulated in 51 years, 41 years, 65 years, whatever it is. Now we want to get rid of stuff as it's happening. Promptly, 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 promptly. That's the way to stay in the spiritual world. If we don't get rid of them, then we hang out here and we wonder why it's miserable. I miss the spiritual world, but at least I'm in charge in this world. And so we have a process for that. And as Chuck used to talk about, see, Chuck Chamberlain, I really loved him. And I love his words. And I study them and I listen to them. And one of his great delights was in being wrong and finding something else he was wrong about and getting rid of it. Oh, hey, I'm wrong about this. Woo! And just throw it away. And so you can see our new delight is in being wrong. The first time we were wrong, it was awful. I hated being wrong. I always had to be right. And you've all heard me say this. My sponsor said, Sandy, think it over. And I did, and I went, all right. You're right. And he said, no, you're wrong. And well, it's the same thing. Well, let me hear you say it. I'm wrong. You remember the first time you actually were trying to get the words out of your mouth, I'm wrong? Louder, louder. I'm wrong. And now it's fun to be wrong. It's so fun to be wrong. Because you're free from another cord that holds you in the material world. That holds you with wrong ideas. And you live with that as if it was true, and it's not. And it causes us to be in pain because of living with ideas that we refuse to get rid of. Mostly on the grounds that we thought them up. It's just pure pride. I know it's a stupid idea, but it's my idea, and I'm going to keep it. And the clincher to make sure there is no further progress, I've always been this way. That's the... You don't understand. I've always been this way. And I go, you don't have to tell me. I can see it. You've been that way? Yes, sir. So, what I find extremely helpful in solving this problem of staying in the spiritual world is contained in the 12 and 12. The 12 and 12 is particularly powerful on this step. It is more the practical side. Normally the big book is the practical side, and the 12 and 12 gives us an understanding of it and so on down. But in this case, the big book is more esoteric, and the 12 and 12 is absolutely boom, boom, you know, like the outline in the fourth step in the big book. And here it is. He put it over in the 12 and 12. And it starts out with that spiritual axiom, if there's something disturbs you, no matter what the cause, there's something wrong with you. So no matter what happens in life, if you're upset about it, there's something wrong with you. And sometimes the events that happen, you know, somebody crashes into you, you're sitting innocently, bam, your car's all ruined. Da, 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 da. You clearly had nothing to do with that, so how could there be something wrong with you? You're disturbed. You just left the spiritual world. That's what's wrong with you. You're in the wrong world. Yeah, but it's not my fault I'm in the wrong world. I agree. It's not your fault. But it'd be your fault if you stayed there. Well, how do I get out of here? Forgive him. Not yet. Did you ever say that? You mean you really concede that 5 years from now you will have forgiven? Oh, yes, 5 years from now, I'm sure I will have. Well, if you're going to forgive him eventually, why not now? I normally don't forgive that fast. I like to stay miserable and then forgive later on. I like to punish myself. And then I forgive. And then we go, that's really stupid. And then you go, yeah, it is. So this is designed to get us back into the spiritual world instead of staying miserable and staying separate from God and staying cut off. So we just got cut off and it wasn't our fault. But it's our responsibility to come back as quick as possible. Promptly. So what did I do wrong? I'm promptly admitting that I'm disturbed. I'm furious. There, I just admitted it. And then what do? Well, there it is. There's a four-part plan. You can open the 12 and 12. I don't know page numbers, but there's a four-part plan. And the first one is self-restraint. When that happens, you want to do nothing. Even though you have a gun in the glove compartment. Or a wrench or a crowbar or something. And you're on your way. You want self-restraint. And self-restraint is something that we can ask for in the morning. Take it with us. Please give me a 5-second cushion between me and the world I'm in. Please give me this self-restraint. Self-restraint. So now we allow nothing to be done by us. We should have a warning thing inside of us that whenever we're disturbed, we can't move or talk. We can just wave a little white handkerchief. Help me. Call my sponsor and get him to undisturb me and then let me go again and I'll go on about my business. And so we want self-restraint. The next one is an honest analysis of what happened. Generally, an honest analysis requires the help of another person. It's impossible to be honest alone. We learned that in the fifth step. We have to run it by. And so we call, and I'm all upset. The guy just hit me in the thing. And the cops came and said, it's 100% his fault. And I said, okay, forgive him. So we had an honest analysis. The analysis honestly showed that it was his fault. And whenever it's their fault, the solution to getting back into the spiritual world is forgiveness. Now, if it was our fault, the solution is make an amend. And that's the entire game plan. Four parts to becoming undisturbed. Self-restraint, honest analysis. If it's our fault, make an amend. If it's his fault, we forgive. Now we're back in. And it's so simple. But our ego doesn't like that. Hey, we want to go and let's take him to court. We're going to sue him. And I tell people, if it's appropriate, you can actually conduct a lawsuit from an undisturbed center. It doesn't have to be done out of anger. As a matter of fact, if it's done calmly with sponsors and other friends agreeing, then it is the right thing to do. But you'll never know if it's the right thing to do if it's being done out of anger. And so we never do that. So you can see we have a fascinating little outline on how to stay in the spiritual world that we work so hard to get there. Man, this is great here. And somebody makes some little slight, says some little word that gets us upset. And then we spend the next 2 weeks back in the material world, just to show him. And complain that the program isn't working. So that's just my take on the dynamics of this world that we've just entered. And I had an insight about our program of Alcoholics Anonymous 2 days ago. And I'm going to share it with you because it just kind of blew my mind. It was like a hologram. We use holograms in this retreat that I do to show what an awakening looks like. You know, you've seen them. You're on the wall, and if you look at them right, and you stare and you do all this, you eventually will see something that is amazing. And so it is with spiritual awakening or spirituality. And Chuck called it a new pair of glasses. It's a way of just seeing a world that is wonderful to live in. And I'm trying to come up for a name for it, so I came up with the God phenomenon in Alcoholics Anonymous. For lack of a better term, the God phenomenon. And this is my description of what it is. When you first arrive in AA, your first meeting, and they give you a book. When you read the book and you go to the meetings, you notice something. You notice that the word God is everywhere in the book. God isn't there. The word God is in the book a lot. And at meetings, everybody who's talked seems to keep saying this word God. And we look at the steps and there's God. So the word God appears to us immediately. And the word God is undefined. It's as if we open a dictionary and here's golf, hit a, you know, a club, hit a ball, get it in the hole. That's a golf. And then here's God. It's blank. So we have an undescribed word. Word with no description. Just a word. And yet, this word, just the word, creates tremendous emotional reactions. An undefined word creates all kinds of reactions. And if we were to go to a typical AA group, just to make my point, let's say there's 60 or 70 members in it, and we had talked to them, we said, we'd like to do an experiment, we want to bring a person in, and they're going to say a word 10 times, and when they finish, we just want you to write down how you felt about it. And so we got people with 1 week, 2 weeks, you know what I'm talking about, a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, up to 23 years. So they're all sitting here, you're all sitting here, and the man comes in, he said, okay, is everybody ready for that? Okay, here we go. God, 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 God. Write down how you feel. We're going to have people writing down, I hate that word. You're driving me crazy. I'm angry. It's frightening me. Reminds me when I was little. I hate that word. I wish that guy would shut up. It's driving me freaking crazy. And then at the end of the month, they're going, it's driving me crazy, but not as long, crazy as it did when I only had 1 week. And then 3 months, they're going, well, it's not driving me that crazy. And at 6 months, they're going, yeah, it's okay with me if they say it. And at a year, they're going, actually, it kind of makes me feel pretty good. And in the 5 years, they're going, man, I love that word. And that word, just the sound, really makes me feel wonderful. And at 23 years, they're going, man, there it is. They light up like a Christmas tree. All from the sound of a word. We haven't gone beyond one three-letter word. So then we have a snapshot of the group. That's all frozen in time. That's right now. So now let's look at one that where the chart covers time, and we'll take a newcomer, and we'll see what happens to his reaction or her reaction to this undefined word. There's no definition attached to this. It's just the word. And see how their reaction to that word changes as they do the steps. Now, in order to do the steps, they have to at least put on hold their old views about that word. I don't want to do that. Oh, you don't have to do anything. Just keep an open mind. We want you to just move along the process and see what happens. Would you be willing to do that? We know how you feel. We know what that word does, but would you be willing to just move ahead anyway with an open mind? All right. You remember that? That's that. When your pigeon, what do you call them today? Sponsees? When your pigeon makes that noise, you know they're getting spiritual. And that's that noise. I want you to give this a try. Oh, I'm an atheist. I don't believe it. Well, if you don't, you're going to die. And then finally they go, all right. That's a very loud spiritual noise. All right. Yay, yay. And then we watch as we move through the fourth step. And we watch as we move through the fifth step. And then we're going through the sixth step. And finally, they're making amends. And making amends is another one that needs another, all right. And we're down to one amend left. And we want him to fly to Pittsburgh, find this guy that he owes the money to that doesn't like him, go up and give him $50 out of the 150 and tell him you're going to send two monthly payments of 50 and the debt will be square. And it's going to cost $200 to fly there. All right. It says in our book that when we draw near, God will disclose himself to us. Where's near? Where's near? Well, near is when we get rid of everything that's blocking us from God. In this case, near was in Pittsburgh. So I gave the guy the money. The guy went, oh, yeah, well, you're still a jerk. Went back to the airport. He's waiting to come back. And the airport starts to light up. And he looks around at the people in the airport. And he says, I've never seen such nice people in my life. And he's just sitting there going, this Pittsburgh airport is unbelievable. Remember how what would happen with the third drink? You know, you'd look around the bar and go, man, the people in here are my people. Look at those people in here. And he suddenly realizes God is doing all this. He suddenly realizes. So he drew near in Pittsburgh. And the word God took on a whole new meaning without anybody defining it. It was just the word. And he came back. And he was so excited for the rest of his life, being God-centered, that all he could do, or she could do, was to try and find somebody else and show him how to do it. You're not going to believe this. Let me take you down the journey to that moment. And what is that journey? Well, the journey from the darkness to the light is the journey from self-centeredness to God-centered. Many of us call it the journey back home. It's returning. It's coming home again. And in the 11th step, there's this wonderful prayer of St. Francis. And I sometimes think, we think about it as a set of guidelines on how we could behave in the world, in our treatment of other people. And it's quite lofty goals. And when we read it, we go, I could never live up to that. And we got to realize that we can't yet. Because before we apply the prayer of St. Francis to others, The prayer has to happen to us. And that's what I think happens on this 12-step journey, on this journey back home. And this journey reaches down inside of us, and where there's all this hatred, it puts love. And where there's this wrong stuff, it puts a spirit of forgiveness. And where there's discord, it puts harmony. And where there's error, it puts truth. And where there's doubt, it puts faith. And where there's despair, it puts hope. And where it's all dark, it puts a light. And where there's sadness reigns, it puts joy. And it shows us in that transformation how wonderful it is to comfort, because we've just been comforted. And to understand, because we were totally understood by this loving word. And to love. And then we see the dynamics of what just happened. We suddenly went out there to fix a situation in Pittsburgh with a guy who doesn't, a grumpy son of a gun, because it was what God would want done. And we see that we totally forgot about ourselves, and we found. And we saw that we forgave everything. We had to make these amends. We had to work all the 12 steps. And in that forgiving of everything that ever happened to us, we finally were forgiven. And that's where St. Francis shows, how does one forgive oneself? By forgiving everything that ever happened to you. How could you forgive yourself if you won't forgive? You're going to forgive yourself for not forgiving? I don't think that's possible. And so we reach the last line where we die. That doesn't mean your heart stops beating. It means the person that arrived at the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous doesn't exist anymore. And a new person emerges, which is you. I thought about that when we were seeing the butterflies. And the question is, when the caterpillar changes into the butterfly, is the caterpillar dead? That's not an easy question, is it? It looks like it's moving to me. Yeah, but it's... So... There's the paradox of how you die and live eternally. It is by dying that we find this life that we were given in the doorway to the 10th step. And now it's our turn to pass it on. And we come back. That guy comes back from Pittsburgh. He wants to show somebody else how to do this. And he wants to get to know whatever did this to him, that word, he wants to get to know it better. And so we could go back and try and summarize this phenomenon that I just described, this God phenomenon. And I would say it goes like this. We go all the way back to the beginning, his first day in AA, the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, God. And the Word became God because of the journey. So the God phenomenon involves a word and a journey. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's why we can't eliminate the Word. Because it's not a word, it's the word. It's the most powerful word we can ever say. And it's in the dictionary, undefined. How do you like that? It's undefined. But if you say it, magic happens. If you think about it, magic happens. Whoever could get magic by thinking about a word? You see how it takes away all the objections? Who could fight that? Who could fight a word? And you eventually make up your own definition in your own dictionary. And it doesn't have to be the same as the person next to you. But we all know that even though we get different experiences, and it doesn't happen in Pittsburgh, we all look the same after it happens. And it's really nice to see a face full of faces, I mean a room full of faces that look like they've been to Pittsburgh. It's really nice. I don't even remember what time I started. I feel like I'm finished, but I feel like I've only been up here a half an hour. I think I've probably said everything that I'm going to say, but I'll keep talking for 5 more minutes. To deprive someone of this is awful. To allow someone to come in the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous and not guide them to Pittsburgh or wherever their awakening is going to take place is awful. We just can't let that happen. We can't just let someone settle for mere sobriety. And we can't force it. And we can't coerce it. We have to attract it. You have to be excited. You have to take the light that's been given you and make it brighter. If no one's attracted to doing this, it's because the light isn't bright enough. And that's why we go in that 11th step. The 11th step is an individual adventure. It isn't done as a group. It's done by yourself. And you become a seeker. And you seek to improve the light. Make your light brighter. Not for you, so you can walk around and go, look, my light is very bright. For them. So they will see that light and they want to know, where'd you get that light? That's the proper way to carry the message. Can't jam it down anybody's throat. You simply make your light brighter. And somebody, you know, we don't get everybody straightened. We work one at a time, one. You don't straighten the world out by straightening the world. You straighten a person out. And that person is going to see something in you that they want. Now they're ready. And then you are happy. And you show them. And so here's a whole step on how to make the light brighter so that someone will be attracted over to you. And what does it say? It says, thoughts through prayer and meditation, in both the 12 and 12 in the big book. It says, our libraries are filled with books. Our ministers, rabbis, teachers are out there. Go talk to them. Ask them, do you know anything about making the light brighter? We're not going out there saying, do you know an alternate program to AA? We're saying, do you know anything about making a light brighter? Oh, yeah, we have this technique. And over here in the Hindu world, we have this way of making the light brighter. Good. And we can find out how to make the light brighter here in AA. And God is happy. Because we're shining brighter and we're going to have someone come up to us and say, I don't know what it is about you, but I would like to have that. And you say, well, come on. I got directions. I have a map to take you on this journey. And the map is called the Big Book. And the Big Book is not the treasure, it's the map. When I have a question, I'm puzzled about something, I never go to the Big Book to try and get the answer. Why would I go in there to get the answer? I go to God or someone else. I go, I'm troubled about this sponsor or spiritual advisor. What do you think I ought to do? The book got me to the source of all the answers. Page 164, we realize we know but a little. That was the summary of what all of the people that wrote the book said. And we put that little in this book. All of it. Well, where do I go to get the rest? What does it say? Next sentence. God will constantly disclose more to you, more to you. What did we say the rules were when we came into the spiritual world in the 10th step? Go to God, go to God, go to God. Don't go to the book, go to God. You see how we want to have a solution where we leave God out. Oh, I'll look it up myself, God. I got it. Right here. Right here on page 50, God. Okay, stay over there. Now, who decided that was the right answer in the book? Me. My sponsor didn't tell me to go there. You follow what I'm saying? There's a big difference between I'm also read page 52. There, it came from him. It didn't come from me. The decision that this was the answer didn't come from me. Because if it comes from me, I'm going to get an answer I like. Go over and demand an apology. Thank you. Anyway, so you can see that all of this is simply designed to make your light lighter and brighter. And there's no other way to straighten out anything except one person at a time. You can't get your home group and go, look, everybody, we're going to pass a group conscience that no newcomer escapes and goes. So now we put locks on the doors and they go, and they're trying to get out, and we go, where are you guys going? We don't want what you have. Oh. I'm not attracted to anger. So my message is, make a personal commitment to seek. And understand that there's only one destination. And it's all contained in a three-letter word. And you can't find it anywhere else. And it's done by magic. And we're on this journey for the rest of our lives. And we're the most blessed travelers in the universe. Thank you all.